Thanks for tuning in today. One of the themes that underlies every single episode of the show is the deep inner work, that inner child work, right? And so I have opened up a few VIP intensive sessions with me. It's a 3-hour session where we go deep and we unlock the subconscious beliefs that are holding you back from the life you know you deserve. Clients are seeing incredible results. They say, Amy, my husband noticed immediate differences. I feel different in my day-to-day. Even my team and my children notice the difference. And it all can happen in a 3-hour intensive session. So I want you to click the link. That's a link to the application because only a select few will be able to join in this kind of an intensive. It's a one-on-one with me, which is, again, a rare opportunity, but one that God really has put on my heart for women just like you who are ready to skyrocket their success and do it in an expedited way. So I hope you'll take advantage of this opportunity, and I hope to see you there. Have a blessed day. You don't want to miss a minute of what's coming up next. This is an interview I had with my coach and friends, Kayla Kraft, and her husband, Chase. And her new book, which is amazing, and I'm a contributing author, releases this week. And so this is in honor of her, the amazing book that she is releasing into the world, and how she got what she really wanted in life. So stay tuned. Don't miss a minute. And leave us a review, leave a comment, let me know what you think. I love you. Welcome to the Elevated Podcast. I'm Amy Van Slambrick, former corporate executive turned therapist and coach to high-profile women and couple entrepreneurs. And we are going to have the conversations you've always wanted to have with the people you have always wanted to know. We are going to bring your life, your faith, your business, and most of all, your relationships to an elevated level through conversations you've never heard before. Tune in and stay with us because it's about to get really, really elevated. Welcome to the Elevated Podcast. I'm Amy Van Slambrick, CEO, strategist, speaker, and real estate investor, and I am so excited to bring you my guest today. These two people have been a really special part of my life for a number of years, but over the last, I would say, 2 years, and especially the last year, they have really become part of my inner circle. And the woman I'm about to introduce you to is transforming so much about my life and my spirit, and really is my sister, my mentor, my business coach, my life coach. And we are going to be talking all about so much more that she does. But ultimately, she is someone who has consistently shifted my soul for years. And I know that what they are going to share together, she and her husband, is going to shift your soul as well. So whether you're listening alone or whether you're listening with your husband or your partner, I really want you to open yourself up to the wisdom and the insight that they are going to share today, both through their story, but also through the wisdom that they've gained, because they have packed so much life into their marriage, into their lives, that it's going to be a really rich discussion. Please welcome Kayla and Chase Kraft to the show today. It is so good to have you guys here.
We're excited to be here.
Yeah, thanks for having us on.
This is our first time ever being on an interview together.
Yeah.
I love it. I seem to interview a lot of couples who've never been interviewed together. So I will be very kind and gentle as I am with everybody. And as a former couples therapist, I'm used to navigating those conversations. So I like to have every couple introduce each other. So if Chase, you would introduce Kayla, and Kayla, if you would introduce Chase to our audience today.
Yeah, that's fun. I like that little twist.
Yeah, it's so interesting.
You briefed us on it before we jumped on, and I was like, oh, this is the pressure's on me here. So I'm introducing my beautiful wife, Kayla. We have been married for 15 years. And she is just the most amazing soul person that I know. I think that she is probably the best coach in the entire world. The types of transformations that she has been able to create for her clients is, you know, I'm in this industry and I get to see multiple people on a daily basis do what they do. And I've never been able to see anybody that does it in the way that she does it. So it's been a fun journey of watching her do that. She's an amazing mother. My three children are very lucky to have her in their lives, and just an incredibly loving and supportive wife. And yeah. I couldn't do life without her.
Oh, well, now I'm crying, Amy.
Me too.
How am I supposed to top that? Well, thank you. I love you. Chase is, he's never met a stranger. And that's something I love about him. So you're going to listen into this episode and you're going to probably be like, oh, we could be besties, because that's how everybody feels after they talk with Chase for just a few minutes. And I love that because he's just a giver in conversations. He's a great listener and he's always looking to add value to people's lives. And he's been like that since he was 17 when we met. He's an amazing, dedicated dad, and our three kids are obsessed with him. They want to spend every waking moment with him. So it's so fun to see that. And another thing that you guys should all know about Chase is that he's good at anything that he does. And that's true. He's kind of like one of those people where it's like, oh, I taught myself to play piano this morning, or I taught myself to play guitar last week. Anything he does, he is good at it. And it's an amazing quality, because I also see it in my kids that he's passing it down to them, because he just has that can-do mentality. If he wants to figure something out, he will. And it's really inspiring to just live with you for the last 15 years of my life and watch you grow as a human. And I know you're going to add so much value to people's lives right now. So I'm excited for this episode.
I love you.
Wow. Incredible. Incredible. Because what is incredible to me is that you have shared some very pivotal points in your life together. You've gone from 17, and Kayla, were you 21?
Okay.
19. Okay. So 19 and 17. And I don't know if any of you listeners can relate, but I'm a little bit different when I think back to my 17 or 19 year old self, even to my 33, 32 year old self, and the transformation that happened. So could you share a little bit with our audience first, how you met, and what it was about the other person at that young age that really stood out to you and said, this is somebody I want to spend my life with?
Well, okay. So I have to share how actually we first met was at a Bible study. We got in an argument. We didn't know each other. We were at the Bible study, and he said that women shouldn't be pastors. And we got at it. So the first time we ever met, we fought in front of a bunch of people at this Bible study. And I remember thinking, oh, he's a good looking guy. But, you know, I remember like just thinking, oh, you know, he's not it, basically kind of thing. I thought he was really good looking, but I'm just like, oh my gosh, like who would say that, you know, that women can't be pastors. And it's so funny because I would say probably like, I don't know, was it like 6 months later, I had broken up with my boyfriend and my best friend was dating his best friend. And she was like, you're not going to stay at home and be sad. You're going to come out with me tonight. And so we went to this like little river party. And if you grew up in a small town, you know, you do things like have weird things like in the parties in the field. And we were at a river party anyway. And he was there and I recognized him from the Bible study. And anyway, I was annoyed with him already, because I was like, again, remember, he doesn't like women basically. And so he was in love with me from the get-go and was throwing Starbursts at me to get my attention, to get myself to come out of the car. And that's how it started. It sounds so juvenile because it was, I mean, we were kids. It was so like, wow, you know, but yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. So we started dating and pretty quickly, fell in love with each other. And I mean, we just found out we had so much in common. Mm-hmm. Like he was a worship leader at his church with his dad. Mm-hmm. And I was at that point volunteering a lot of my time with foster care kids at my church that I grew up at. And so we just, you know, we were in ministry and that was our hearts. And so that ultimately bonded us, like where I looked past the other things and really started to understand his heart of what he meant by women not being pastors. And what he really meant was that women, you know, shouldn't be leading men. And I agreed with that. And so I knew that like he had a lot to teach me and I wanted to be with somebody that was going to point me to God's word. And yeah. And so we got married a year later.
Wow. Yeah.
I was 19.
Wow.
We were both, you know, I look back at that now and I'm like, holy cow, we were babies, but, which we were, but we were both fairly mature for our age, I think, you know, like we're, you know,
I was in nursing school. Like I knew the path that I was going to take. I was in nursing school. I was going to be a nurse. He was going to take over his dad's company. And so we're like, why wait when we know we're going to be together.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, we weren't like, you know, 19 and 21 year olds trying to just figure out life. Like we had our career paths already done. I was already, you know, working. She was already, you know, almost finishing her nursing school. So it was we were young, but we were old in spirit, I guess, you know, so it wasn't, you know.
Well, looking back, we know it was totally God's protection that we got married so young, because I think that had it not been for God, like locking this down, he probably would have went off and made a lot of mistakes. I mean, let's just be real. And I think too, that I would have gotten so off my path of where the Lord really wanted to take me, which was obviously where I'm at today. So I'm so thankful, because I don't see it, me being in this environment with, like, you know, where we're at right now without getting married young.
Yeah.
For sure. Wouldn't have happened.
Yeah. So what was it for you, Chase, that made her the target of your starbursts saying, I want to know you more, which is the ultimate sign, right? At that age, that's the ultimate flirtation. If only now we still just threw starbursts at each other.
Yeah, I think they were actually jelly beans. We have this debate. I mean, you know, I was a 17-year-old boy, so you know, obviously I thought she was very good looking, and so that was definitely my initial attraction to want to pursue that more. But I mean, and also, like, you know, her not giving me the time of day in the beginning was like, oh, I got a little thing to chase here. Mm-hmm. You know, so that was fun. But no, I think, you know, after we obviously started hanging out and you know, getting to know each other more, I think, you know, just her heart and the way that she, you know, just kind of treated me and loved me right off the bat. Like it was, I wasn't used to that. Like I was, you know, I'd been in a couple of relationships. Obviously I was very young. So it was like, you know, high school relationships are ridiculous. And, you know, I always, you know, my parents have been married for 35 years. And they've always modeled a great marriage and relationship for me. So that was always really attractive to me. I obviously was, you know, a high school boy. And so I had my times of, you know, promiscuous nature, but I always wanted a relationship. Like I was always like, I want to get married. It was never in the cards for me to not be in a serious relationship. And so, you know, and I felt that with her and it was just, you know, automatically I was like, okay, I'm going to marry this girl, you know. Wow. You know, I think I proposed 8 months into our relationship. So
incredible.
It was, that was always what I wanted in my dream. And so it was like, she was mature, you know, obviously she was a couple of years older than me. She had a career path. I had my career path. It was just like, you know, and my parents didn't really, I mean, obviously my parents kind of questioned it a little bit, but they were supportive from pretty much day one of us getting married at that age. But we always joke around, like, you know, we always joke around at our wedding, you know, we had a couple hundred people there and we're like, 95% of those people were standing there going, this is going to last 2 years tops, you know? So it's funny. But no, it's, you know, getting married young is obviously has its challenges, because me at 19 is much different than me at 35, right? Like you grow. So those 20 year old years are really about like kind of figuring out who you are, and to do that and figure out who you are alongside living with another person and being in a marriage and relationship, plus add three kids to that, is like, you know, recipe for explosion. But you know, we obviously it's God's grace that we, you know, that we're still together to this day, but it also brings about, you know, we can do anything together. Like there is no amount of difficult times with our relationship, with our business, with our kids, anything like that. We always find a way to like unify together because we've been through so much since a young age. And I think going through those challenges of growing up together pretty much, you know, allows us to be so resilient, especially in our relationship and marriage now. So.
Yeah, so good. You're so good at talking. Keep talking.
That is incredible. You know, and I know that we definitely want to fast forward and talk about the last 15 years. And I know that when you have that kind of focus and insight so early in life, you know, and yes, in small towns, a lot of times earlier marriages are people are a little more open to them. A lot of times in the church, people are more open to them. And I know that there are lots of people who are probably your friends and fellow students who didn't have the kind of focus and intent that you did that early in life. And usually that comes with a journey that involves some really painful circumstances and weathering some of life's challenges really early in life. And so, you know, part of what I say we talk about here are the things nobody else will talk about, because we have to talk about them. Otherwise, everybody's suffering in silence, right? And so I just wonder if you could share a little bit about, you know, the things, the challenges in life that allowed you to come to that place at 17 and 19 that you were like, I know where I'm going. Yeah, we have growing up to do, all of us do. But I know that you'd already done a lot of growing up.
Yeah. So for me, if I had a very different childhood than Chase, he had a very stable childhood, which was actually something that made me go, I need to lock this down. my childhood was very chaotic. I had a dad that was a drug addict that abandoned us when I was six. And then my mom was in and out of like just, you know, bad relationships, ended up marrying an alcoholic when I was, I think, 10. And it was just a lot of chaos, you know, all the time. And money was always an issue. There was so much fighting and just, it was just bad. And then to go on top of it, when my dad gets out of jail, he comes in and just wreaks even more havoc. And when I was about 13, I started working. Like an actual job where I got cash besides babysitting and stuff. And my dad learned at that young of an age, he could manipulate me to giving him the money I was making. And so I was just, you know, at 14, I knew I was going to be a nurse, and because they, you know, had a nursing shortage. And so I knew, well, I'm going to not have a job. So I'm always going to be able to help everybody around me. And that was honestly why I chose nursing, which is so crazy. And so that was the focus, was the stability, because when you grow up in a traumatic environment, you crave certainty more than anything. And you are really, you know, in that spirit of control. You want to control as much factors in your life as possible to make you feel safe. And so that's how, I started taking classes for my nursing degree at 14 years old. And that's how I was able to become a nurse at such a young age too. So that's what made me like be on that career track right away. And even when I met Chase's parents, his mom was a nurse. And so she helped me in nursing school, and it was just really sweet. And just seeing the way that they were married too, I was like, oh my gosh, like I need to marry him. Like we're going to have an awesome marriage if I marry this guy. Anyway, but yeah, so that was, and I kind of breezed by that, but you know, it's painful. I've done a lot of inner child work, Amy, you know, like, and you teach that and you do it so well with people. I wish I would have known you like 15 years ago. To do your inner child intensives with you, you know, because that would have saved us a lot of grief in our marriage. Because I brought a lot of that, you know, into our marriage, which was messy for a little bit, you know. But that's what drew me to like want to. I knew what was going to happen. I was like, I knew I wanted to be a mom, so I'm going to get married, and then we'll have kids young, and we'll be able to retire young, and that was the path that I really wanted to be on. You know, so with you, of course.
Yeah.
And Chase, your journey to 17 was very different, right?
Yeah. I grew up in a Christian home, stable parents, obviously good, great relationship. You know, I really am very blessed in how I was raised, and my parents were great parents, and taught me a lot of things about parenting that we still model to this day with our kids. And so, you know, stability was always there for us, right? We weren't, you know, overly wealthy, but we were, my dad obviously owned his own business. So money was never really an issue. We were never like going on, you know, super luxury stuff, but there was always stability, right? Mm-hmm. Which also, you know, had some negative effects on me as I became adult too, because I was all, you know, I was very mothered as a kid. So, mm-hmm. you know, I would always look to Kayla to, you know, be my mom in that way. Right. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot that was learned between both of our upbringings that, you know, a lot of good in what Kayla has experienced in hers is she's very independent. She doesn't rely on anybody else. She's like, you know, put her head down. She's going to figure it out. Where I'm more of, you know, I needed my hand held in ways. Mm-hmm. And that's something that I've really had to work on. Right. And you know, so that's, we get to take both of those experiences, you know, from our upbringings, and then kind of mold, you know, the way that we parent our kids and mold the way that we form our life and all that stuff, to take the good and bad from both of those and really hopefully cultivate a good experience for our children now. Yeah. So
yeah,
that's one of the things that I really, you know, we have to be careful of, because obviously, you know, we our kids live a very comfortable life. You know, we're successful people. They never have to go without. And so, you know, them not falling into the same habits that I fell into of, mm-hmm. you know, not being responsible and always having somebody, you know, mom there to clean up the mess, you know, whenever I wasn't, following through on my responsibilities and those types of things, but also not creating a life of instability for them where they have to worry about, you know, parents, you know, having jobs or making money or, getting their next meal or whatever that looks like. Right. And so finding the balance between those two is something that we're always conscious and aware of.
Well, and that's just, it's so beautiful because couples can either use that kind of difference in terms of how you grew up as a dividing factor in their relationship, and it can cause so much conflict, you know, because your wounds, I say, are talking more than what you actually want to express.
Yeah.
And yet the couples who really, really turn it around and are able to use it as a compliment, like you guys do, the way you use it as a shared experience almost, Chase, because I can sense the empathy and the fact that you have entered into that part of Kayla's journey, which for anybody who's been through trauma is the most validating thing you can have, you know, that somebody has been in that room as much as they can be and seen through your eyes and felt with your heart and yet comes in and not only loves you, but protects you and honors what you have navigated and been through and overcome, and not used it to say, well, you've been through worse, you know, but you use it to actually love Kayla more deeply. I can see that. Mm-hmm. And Kayla, that you really appreciated the solid sort of foundation that Chase could bring to your relationship that you'd longed for. You weren't resentful of it. You actually were magnetized to each other because of how God allowed those first parts of your journeys to be meshed together. And yet I know you haven't arrived at this point in your life. And I just want to take a minute and say to our listeners, you know, when you, because I know you're all going to follow Kayla and Chase if you don't already. But when you take a look at social media, you know, it's often very easy to look at a life that is so beautiful and so well designed and think, wow, you know, it must have always been that way. And there is so much commitment and work that goes into creating that kind of beauty. So I really would love for you to share with our audience how you kind of entered in that early phase of marriage and then the last 15 years happened, right? And it's not been like smooth sailing every year. You haven't always had the income that you have. So just share with our audience about that phase of your journey.
Do you want to go first or me?
You go first.
So, yeah, when we first got married, I remember calling my mom the first week we were back from our honeymoon and going, I think I made a mistake. I this isn't what it's supposed to be like. Like, I can we get the marriage annulled? And my mom's like, what? She's like, no, you guys are fine. And I was like, can I come home? And she was like, no, you know, no. Because he just was like he was a kid, you know, he was 19 years old. And he was like, wait, I have to come home to my wife after work. And, you know, he wanted to hang out with his buddies because all of his buddies were not married, you know?
Yep.
And so, yeah, that was very difficult because I went into mothering mode, and that lasted for a couple of years, which obviously is not good for intimacy in your relationship because I'm always nagging at him to like do things and remind him like, hey, you got to do it. And we used to joke because it's like, he totally married his mother. Like, me and his mom are so much alike. It's scary. you know? So, anyway, so yeah, that was interesting in the first part of our marriage. Then we had kids when we were, what, how long were we married? 2 years married?
Yeah, I was 20, almost turning 21, and you were 23.
So then you start throwing kids in there, and he's working a lot, maybe 40 to 60 hours a week, sometimes where he's traveling, where he's gone for a week at a time with no service. So it was really me plus working as a nurse. And I had a lot of help, thankfully, from my mom and from his mom and things like that. But it was like, you know, I was like, gosh, I don't want to live life like this. Like, I don't want to be alone raising all these kids. And I found network marketing about when Cooper was one. And I really looked at that like, okay, this is going to be the ticket to get Chase home, which was not a goal of ours ever. But then I started to go, oh, this is the time. This is how I'm going to get my husband back. And this is going to give us our dream life. And so I went like just straight into the deep end with that, having no idea how to sell anything, nothing about social media. This is 2011 where, you know, Facebook, it had just happened where people could start making their own, you know, like you didn't have to have a college email address. And I was personally branding myself and didn't realize that's what I was doing, but I built a huge community, was able to make a six-figure income in 6 months and go part-time as a nurse. Mm-hmm. And he was like, what the heck is happening? We were buying our dream house. 1 year after I got started in network marketing, we bought our dream house, which we thought that would never happen. But we bought our dream house. It was on 2 acres and it had a tennis court and room for horses. And it was right next door to his parents. And I'm pregnant with my second child. And, you know, like, we're just like going and like making this thing happen, going, oh my gosh, the sky's the limit with our life, you know? And Chase is still going like, okay, what's... What happened to Kayla?
What are you doing?
Yeah. Where's my Kayla at? And it was just difficult because something changed so drastically. Like being a millionaire was never on, it was not on my, I didn't even know what a vision board was when I was, 19 and met him. But all of a sudden I had big dreams and big goals and he was like not catching up quick enough. And so we really started to have just a strain on our marriage. And I was hanging out with people that were kind of like, well, if your husband's, not for you, he's against you. And so he's one of the bad guys. And so I really like started to put up walls towards him, but thank God I was so stubborn that I would never get a divorce because, I just was too prideful. And so, but I'm thankful now for that pride because I'm so glad that we did stay together, but it could have been really easy for me to walk away. And I was in an environment where it would have been like totally like clapped for like, oh yeah, you leave him if he doesn't have the same goals as you. Mm. Right. Yeah. So that was interesting. We started making a lot of money about 3 years into it. We were making $1 million a year almost.
Yeah.
And he was then talked into leaving the family business. And that was, we were excited about it because we thought, oh, like we're going to do this together. We're going to be a power couple, which is the ultimate thing in network marketing, to be the power couple. And he got out of his family business, which was like a huge, it was a big devastation to the family, to say the least. And then he was in network marketing for about a week and he was like, this ain't for me. I am not about this life. And we're like, oh my gosh, well, what are you going to do then? Like you just gave up everything. So what do you want to do now? And that was another big strain on our marriage because I'm like, he doesn't want to just be sitting around golfing all day, but that's what he started doing because he could,
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a big identity shift for me because I had, I started working for my family business right out of high school. Like, literally, I take that back. I worked a retail job for like a month, maybe after I graduated. And then I started working for my dad.
He made $7 an hour. Yeah. And he was like, this isn't going to work. Yeah.
So my dad actually made me, he was like, you're not working for me right off the bat. You need to go, work for somebody else. And I went and got that job, worked it for a month. And I was talking to my dad about it and he was like, okay, this is kind of ridiculous. Like you need to make some more money. And so he was like, come work for me. I started at like 10 bucks an hour, 11 bucks an hour, something, not anything crazy. But he was like, you're going to work the ground up. Like you're not going to just come in and, be the owner's son, which I wanted to, I wanted to prove myself. Mm-hmm. I was like, I did not want the stigma of employees looking at me like I just got handed the keys to the kingdom and I didn't work for it. So I started literally at the bottom. Like I was, inside of tanks, shoveling sand all day, every day, 100 plus degrees. But then I worked really hard and I made a name for myself, very quickly. And, then over the years, I think I worked for him for 7 or 8 years before I quit to join Kayla. But over those 7, 8 years, I became the general manager for one of his departments. And I really mastered that industry. And I was only 23, 22 at this point, 24, I think, when I quit. I was already very well known in the industry, especially in our region, right? The Western region. And so, I was this up and coming kid that was, crushing. And I would go to events and everybody would know who I was. They'd all be talking about me and in our business that I'm, scaled to, whatever. Like I was very good at my job. And so when I made that transition, and I really clinged on to my work as because like Kayla was saying, she was head first in network marketing. All she was doing was being a mother. And then if she wasn't being a mother, she was working on her business. And so I was alone. Right. And so I really dove into this is my identity. This is my work. I'm doing this alone. I'm working until, 7 p.m. at night because I don't really want to go home. Right. And so when we made that transition, all of a sudden I'm home all the time. I lose my identity. Like, and now I go from Chase Kraft, the young up and coming guy in this industry, to Kayla Kraft's husband. And so that was, it was an additional big strain on our marriage, because she's looking at me thinking, I want to be those power couples that are walking across the stage that everybody's talking about. And, you know, we were perceived as that, but I wasn't really doing the work that I needed to be doing to really take us to that next level. And her thought was, when I came on board to work with her full time, we were going to 2x what we were doing, right? And I wasn't, I just wasn't into it. Like, I went through massive identity shifts, and I went through then. So then I just, you know, I took that free time as me just being able to have free time to do whatever I wanted. And she was, you know, obviously that comes with resentment from her, because she's looking at me to fill this role in our business and in our life. And, you know, I wasn't that. So we went through, you know, we went through a hard, probably 6-7 years of our life, you know, with a lot of crap happening around us that we weren't really aware of what was happening, right? Because we weren't doing the personal development work. Maybe she was, but I wasn't, for sure. To really see what I was experiencing and feel and have an answer for it, or a reason behind it. I was just like, that became with resentment for me, because I was like, oh, she took me away from what I was good at, right? She made me quit my job. She did this to me, which is retarded, because I was the one that agreed to the idea. I was the one that had the conversation with my dad of like, hey, you know, this is our new path. And like, it wasn't at all forced by her. But you know, that's just a natural human response. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so, you know, I had to do a lot of work on myself, and, you know, obviously she had to do a lot of work on herself to get to kind of the point where we're at now. But it was really hard, you know, all while being in our mid-20s, mm-hmm. navigating who the heck we even are.
Yeah.
At that point, like, we had every card that you could stack against us. It was stacked. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah.
I remember being Amy, go ahead.
I just wanted to point out that what is so remarkable, and what I've seen with couples, you know, what I experienced even in my own marriage, because I was married very early in my 20s and we did not make it out. But I think it was, you know, that sometimes it's a very small but significant wound for one person, that feeling of being abandoned, that feeling of being isolated, that triggers that inner child, you know, and then we go to the extremes. And so the things you loved about each other suddenly become, you know, magnified, and they become toxic to the relationship. Often the success of one that's out of balance when it isn't mutual, or it can be the success of both, then becomes this toxin that kind of, you know, when we aren't addressing our feelings, when we aren't opening up and doing the development work, can just poison the whole relationship. And we don't even realize. Oftentimes we wake up, we're like, how did we get here? Like, how did we go from that to this? And I think what I'm hearing is that you both had that aha moment when you're like, hold on, you know, before the train totally sped off the tracks and over the cliff, you had the insight to stop it, you know, and turn the success around, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think it was exactly that, right? So Kayla, you know, reverted back to her childhood experience of not being able to depend on a man, right? And so she, you know, then looked at me as kind of her, you know, fourth child at that point, right? And then my experience was, you know, I always had my mom there to, you know, to do a research for me at midnight before it was due, because I didn't take care of my business beforehand. So then I revert back to, I'm looking for her to save me at that point. Right. And so then it's just those, and then you get into the polarity between the feminine and the masculine, and those are way off balance. And it was just, yeah, it was a disaster, for a while, you know? And so, you know, luckily we were able to identify those things, but I think most people don't, they don't, either have the resources to identify them, or they don't even care to go down that road, right? They get it in their mind that this is not the person for me. And then they take the next steps in that journey. Where we were, I think, like Kayla said, we're both too stubborn to call it quits. And so we were like, okay, we need to figure this out. And that's what really, it's taken years to flesh all that out, right? Becoming aware of it is one step. And then becoming, figuring out the steps that you need to then work on it or fix it within internally, right? It starts with yourself. And then it moves to, how do we fix this together? And then what are our trigger response that we're going to take into the future, right? And then those aren't an overnight fix, right? You becoming aware of it is just the first step. And then it's a journey to really flesh all that stuff out. Mm-hmm. And it took me a while to figure out, okay, what do I want to do in life? Right now I'm sitting here, no job. I don't really have a career path. I don't have a business necessarily. I'm helping her. I'm doing things that then we started Mommy Millionaire, which was fun to be able to do together, but it was still hers, right? It was still, I was involved. I was working, with her on the business. I was involved in all the strategic marketing plans. I was running our team. I was doing all the things, letting her be the face and supporting her, but it still wasn't mine. I still felt that like emptiness of, I don't really know what my goal in life here is, right? Am I going to just be the behind the scenes guy for Mommy Millionaire for forever? But then obviously, being aware of those feelings and figuring out a way to, continue to grow. And I think it is, it's not an overnight thing. And if you're feeling that way, or if you're, feel that tension in your marriage for some of these things that might relate to you, it's one thing, first step is obviously becoming aware of it. And then the journey to get to where you want to be is a long road.
Well, and you have to put people in your life that are going to support you
for sure.
And so, what I found is like when we were in really hard times, I would be drawn to those people who also hated their husbands. Mm. And that's like the worst thing you could do, because it just feeds all the reasons why this marriage shouldn't work out. And so I started hanging out with people who are like, if I would complain about my husband, they would stop me dead in my tracks and be like, no, you're not going to do that with me. And it was like, oh, okay. That's exactly what I needed, is they would point me to Jesus and point me to like, no, you're going to make this work. And same thing with Chase, is he was around people that were like, absolutely not. You guys aren't getting a divorce. Mm. I remember him telling one of our really close friends, well, one of his best friends, that he was like, Kayla's going to leave me. And I remember he was like, you need to do whatever you can to save your family, And that's, I think that's so important. It's not talked about enough when it comes to your marriage, is hanging mm-hmm. out with people who are going to fight for your marriage with you. Mm-hmm. Because if we would have been hanging out with the wrong people, and having those people go, yeah, you should, we'd probably not be together right now, mm-hmm. honestly.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and I think just as I could go for hours with you guys, and I want to be mindful of your time, but I think this is such a great example of the power of our inner circle, that starts with the inner circle we put around our individual hearts and our relationship with the Lord, and making sure that that is constantly at the forefront. And that's a whole other conversation we can and hopefully will have. But it's also about how you maintain that inner circle with each other, as I call them, kind of concentric rings, and then the inner circle you had around your marriage, and you invite your children into that too, right? Because they're going to be impacted. And that is, it's incredible the amount of ground that you have covered in 15 years together.
Yeah. It's been a journey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we're not done.
Yeah.
That's the fun part.
Yeah.
I think, I think about it all the time. I'm like, we're still young, right? Like I'm 34, she's 36. Had to do my math there. We still have so much life that we're going to live together. And, we're going to be pretty much empty nesters by the time I'm 33. And 43, I'm sorry. Yeah. And so, I get excited about, and the journeys that we're on with our businesses and our careers. And it's like, we have so much fun ahead of us, and it's, I think really our best years are ahead of us.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I think we had to go through all those hard times to really like I said, 15 years of that. And now I look at it and go, there's nothing that could come, between us and experiencing the life that we really want to live together.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And I think that God has such a big purpose for our marriage, and our family. And so it was like, that was just a scheme of the enemy, and now we're prepared for battle, every day. Like, we know what to do in our marriage to choose each other. And that's really, I remember in the car, we said, we choose each other. We're not like staying together for the kids. We're not staying together because we're prideful. We're staying together because I want to do life with you for the rest of my life, So,
yeah, that is so powerful. And so I always ask my guests this last question. And I know that it's going to be powerful just because I can tell this answer may have been different 15 years ago than it is today. But for each of you, who in all of this, who taught you to love?
God? Can I say that? Is that the right answer?
Yeah.
I really, it's the Lord. And when you talk about that agape love, mm-hmm. that's what I try to practice every day with Chase, is looking at him as God sees him, because it's really easy to love a man when he's perfect, when he's got everything going on and he's working out every day. He's doing all the right things, but it's hard to love a man when he's in a bad situation, when he's made mistakes and all those types of things. And God, thankfully has put women that are amazing wives in my life to remind me, you've got to have agape love for your husband. It's unconditional. It's no matter what, you've got to wipe the slate clean, because you're married to an imperfect person, just like he's married to you. You're imperfect as well. And so really practicing to see Chase as God sees him every day, and having grace on him and not keeping a scoreboard in the marriage, has been what's changed our marriage, I think. And so I would say, God taught me how to love, because he loves me despite all the mistakes I make on a daily basis, So just taking that into my marriage has been what's helped me.
Essentially my answer. It goes back to what Paul writes in his message to husbands, that they're supposed to love their wife as Christ loves the church, right? And obviously, Christ loved us so much that he laid his life for us despite our wicked, sinful hearts, right? And so it's when you think about how Christ loves the church, all that follows. And I also attribute it. I don't remember exactly how my mom or my parents put it. But they would always tell me that even if you don't feel love, or you don't feel loved, or you don't feel like you want to love someone, the act of loving, it brings about the emotion of love.
Yep.
And so,
they said feelings follow action.
Feelings follow action, mm-hmm. right? So, doing the things to act in love towards your spouse, even if you're not feeling love from them or towards them, is going to create the emotion of love, that'll follow that. So just being intentional and consistent, at that, even when you don't feel like it, even when you hate their guts, if I really want to love this person and I really want my marriage to work, I have to start doing actions of love in order to receive the emotion and action of love back, and also for me to have the emotion of love towards that person. So,
his parents are marriage counselors too. So,
yeah.
I love that.
We had a lot of help.
Built in. I love it. Oh my gosh. So much in this interview, so much wealth in this interview. And we didn't even get to talk about how money plays into all of this, because God used it so beautifully in your relationship. And it's, you know, it's a beautiful depiction of him ultimately. And this story is as well. It's just so beautiful and so powerful. And so I know that our audience are going to want to connect with both of you. What is the best way for them to do that right now?
Yeah. Since they're listening into the podcast, if they listen into my podcast, Crafted Entrepreneur, that's the best way to connect with me.
Instagram is usually the best way for me. Chase A Craft. So that's my Instagram handle. But yeah, I'm in my DMs quite often. And so, yeah.
Fantastic. Has an amazing set of companies, and you want to connect in with Crafted Entrepreneur and a real estate company. And then Chase has started this incredible company that we didn't even get a chance to get into, called My Abundance. So if you are in need of funding of any kind, he is the man you want
Thanks
to connect
with. Thanks for listening
with.
To the Elevated Podcast.
God is just blessing
you
both of your
businesses.
You can
find out more about me and be amazing guests
so
on
love
our
you
show
both.
On
Thank
my website,
you for your time today.
AmyVanSlambrook.com. And if you have a moment, I'd love to hear
audience.
Your honest review of the show, because nothing lights my day up more than seeing your comments, your questions, your aha moments, because that's what this is all about. We want to elevate your thinking so you can elevate your life.